This episode is brought to you by Impossible Foods. When the world is telling you to eat less meat because it's bad for the environment and bad for your health, Impossible Foods wants you to eat more meat. Yes, that company that makes meat from plants, Impossible Foods. By creating delicious, nutrient-packed meat from plants that's better for the planet. Impossible lets you enjoy some of your favorite meaty products with a plant-based twist. Ground beef, home-style meatballs, sausage patties, and so much more. All made from plants. Check out ImpossibleFoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's ImpossibleFoods.com.
Just a reminder that Diet Starts Tomorrow is a podcast for entertainment purposes only. It is not a medical podcast and does not constitute medical advice. Always seek the advice of a physician or a health professional. Betches Media presents
Diet Starts Tomorrow.
But I stand behind my decision to avoid salad and other disgusting things.
With hosts Remy Casimir.
I'll have what she's having.
And Emily Lubin.
Remember, chew like you'd have a secret.
We're here to amuse
your boosh. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Diet Starts Tomorrow. I'm Remy.
And I'm Emily. And today we have a little scoop du jour and a Dear DST.
And they are connected.
They are.
If you can believe.
It's so thematic.
I know. I love it.
Some weeks it just works out. Like the theme just comes together.
Yeah.
Let's get into the scoop du jour today.
Yeah.
This is a little story that popped up over the weekend.
A little tale.
A little tale.
About a woman named Emily Blunt.
Yes. Emily Blunt. Ever heard of her? She apologized for describing a restaurant worker as, quote, enormous.
Yeah.
So basically what happened was a clip from a 2012 interview resurfaced where Emily Blunt said that a waitress who served her at a Chili's restaurant in Louisiana was enormous. She used that word to describe
her. Let's play that clip.
You can see why so many of our American friends are enormous. I ordered a starter once and it was like four mini burgers and they were as big as proper burgers.
Yeah. Well, the girl who was serving me was enormous. You know, I think she got freebie meals at Chili's.
Nothing wrong with that.
And she comes up and she goes, did anyone ever tell you you look a lot like Emily Blunt? And I said, I have heard that, yes. And she went, are you Emily Blunt? And I went, yeah. And she went, what are y'all doing here? And then she was like, are y'all shooting a movie here? And I said, yeah, I'm shooting a film called Looper. And she went, Looper? And I went, yeah. And she went, y'all just made that up. I really didn't.
So this clip is going around with many people accusing her comment of being fatphobic. So she made a statement to People magazine a couple of days ago and was like, I was appalled that I would say something so insensitive, hurtful, and unrelated to whatever story I was trying to tell on a talk show. Like, the interviewer does prompt it.
Yeah, so this is like,
I'm not excusing her by any means.
No, but listen, I'm not.
There were people in the comments being, because there's a version of it where it starts with her talking, and then there's a version of it where it starts with him talking, and the version where it starts with her talking, then it just goes, he goes, there's nothing wrong with that or whatever. So there are a bunch of people being like, king shit, like,
no,
he's amazing. Uh-uh. But then you look at the other version, we played the longer one. He is saying, this is why so many people in America are enormous. Like, he brought up the word enormous.
He's the one who brought it up. So yes. So
and she did go with it.
She went with it. But this is how I actually see this. I don't think it was a kind thing to say by any means.
No.
By any means. I do not approve of it at all. And I think she knows how messed up it was that she said that. However, I do also empathize with her a little bit as somebody who is in an interview and is telling a story. And then the interviewer says something like, oh, you go to Chili's and you see why all our American friends are enormous.
Mm.
And then you just kind of, you don't want to ignore the comment, but you also don't want to dwell on it too much. You're like, oh yeah, the waitress is enormous. Anyway, do you know what I mean? I'm not saying it was right,
but I
do empathize with that for her.
No, I know when you just go along with something and it's a live show and the lights are on or whatever, but I was just thinking, and so many people said this comment too, but it was exactly what I was thinking. I was like, imagine being that woman and having this fun little experience with Emily Blunt or whatever. And then you turn on the TV how many ever weeks later and like, she's like, just like making fun of you.
Right. And she's, you know, this gorgeous, famous actress.
Yeah.
Belittling you and you work at a Chili's in middle America, you know, like you didn't ask to be on TV.
Right.
You just had this chance encounter with this famous actress. Mm-hmm. And now she's kind of making fun of you. Not kind of. She is making fun of you with this interviewer. Rough.
Jonathan Ross is his name.
The interviewer.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. But I walked away from it being like, I kind of blame the interviewer more than I blame Emily.
And I blame the time period. Like that. This is something that I wish she would have said in her apology is like she said, oh, it was really mean and it was insensitive, but it could have been like, I was so steeped in diet culture at that point. We all spoke like this. And I mean, that might have sounded like it was excusing it, but it's like, I was going through stuff with my body at that point. Like, I couldn't even accept my own body, let alone other people's, or just like, maybe it was a totally like offhanded thing, but it's like, you starred in The Devil Wears Prada. You're like one of the stars. Like, you know about that world and that thinking. It's not my apology to accept, but I do think people change and look back and are horrified by things that they've said.
Totally. And I think she also could have completely ignored this and it would have gone away. So I do appreciate the fact that she said anything. Yeah,
for sure.
You know, this like blip of a clip would have eventually gone away, but I would have probably not looked as highly on her if she didn't say anything. And I'm happy that she did, because we say this all the time. Everybody can grow and change and realize that we said some stupid shit when we were younger and we weren't thinking about the ways that that affected the people around us.
Have I ever sent that Joan Didion quote on here?
I don't believe so.
It's like, I've lost touch with so many people I used to be.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, my. I'm like feeling things.
Right? Like, I read my old diaries and I'm like, you fucking loser.
No, it's true. I was thinking about that recently in a way, like how anytime that I've ever been irrationally upset with somebody for something that didn't have to do with me, like I see somebody living a certain way or I don't know, getting engaged after a year and a half of dating, for example, like I used to like see people and I'd be like, you idiots. Like, I would kind of like pass judgment a little bit. And now I'm like, you know, that's actually just coming from a place of jealousy that like I wasn't sure a year and a half into my relationship that I wanted to get married.
I have a diary entry with the most judgment. I think like I was reading it back and I was like, who is this person? What a psychopath. Because I had watched the film Rachel Getting Married with a bunch of my friends in college.
Dark film.
I was like sobbing after it. And in my diary, I'm like, one of my friends could not see her perspective at all. She was so cold. She didn't even cry. I can't look at her ever again.
Because
of how she did not react to this movie.
To the movie Rachel Getting Married.
Like, Remy, please chill. That's insane.
Wait, because you thought that your friend should have cried during this movie?
I thought she wasn't sensitive enough. And we also discussed the movie afterwards, and she just, like, couldn't understand drug addiction and stuff. And I was like, you have no empathy, and we can't be friends. And we're still friends.
You're, like, 16 years old at the time.
I was
like,
in college. I was, like, old enough to know better.
But still, I'm saying, like, you're judging this person for, like, not understanding how somebody was addicted to drugs.
Yeah.
It's like a lot of us haven't had that experience.
I also got mad at a little girl when I went to see Miss Saigon with my mom, and I was crying at the end of that too, and she was like in front of me and she's clapping, she's like, oh mother, that was wonderful, and I was like, that girl has no heart.
Okay, I'm not familiar with Miss Saigon, I'm embarrassed to say.
Super sad story.
Is it a sad story?
Yeah, just horrible.
And I kind of agree, that girl is a sociopath.
Yeah.
Where is she now?
I don't know.
We can't prove that she's not a sociopath. Anyway, props to Emily Blunt for acknowledging that her behavior in this clip was less than stellar.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that some other people might have seen this and maybe they're rethinking some of their comments and their actions.
I wonder if Jonathan Ross is being held to the flame for his instigation of it.
Has anybody checked in on Jonathan Ross?
I had never heard his name before this
clip. I think
clip.
Somebody should send him an email. Somebody should DM him, see if he's done any introspection.
Yeah, our British contingent, let us know how he's doing.
Warmer weather is finally back. After so many cold months, it's nice to get outside and soak up the sun, but the springtime always brings those unwanted guests, pollen and seasonal allergies. April showers bring spring flowers and sniffly noses and stuffed up sinuses. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. I suffer from seasonal allergies. I just had them hit the other day. I couldn't breathe through my nose at all. And I popped a Claritin and it was like night and day. I'm a huge fan of Claritin. I use it on the regular and it always helps when we're making that transition from winter to spring, which is when my allergies flare up. Mainly, it's my sinuses that get so clogged and the Claritin just clears it right up. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy throat and nose, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. Ready to live your life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. This episode is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always find the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you, Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for this season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service. For just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles each month. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. And you always have the option to buy what you love. I love Nuuly. I've rented so many cute things from there and I've even made a few purchases from there and they're always spot on. They have so many brands that I honestly could never afford in real life. So it's great to be able to rent them. Nuuly is a great value at $98 a month for any six styles. But right now, you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code DST20. Just go to Nuuly, that's Nuuly.com, and enter the code DST20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's Nuuly.com, Nuuly with two U's, with code DST20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental. Change your clothes. This episode is brought to you by Azo. The Azo brand wants the world to stop treating women's health like a dirty word. Because the reality is, UTIs, yeast infections, and bladder control issues are common among women. But dealing with them is an uncommon act that many women are skittish about due to judgment, shame, and inaction. The Azo brand offers probiotics, prebiotics, and vaginal suppositories that help keep your vaginal health in check every day. Like Azo Complete Feminine Balance, designed with a clinically studied probiotic blend that helps restore natural balance of good bacteria. Also, Azo Boric Acid suppositories support and help with vaginal odor control. And Azo Dual Protection provides extra protection from the common cycle of urinary and vaginal issues. Everyday things like stress, your cycle, sex, and certain medications like antibiotics or the pill can disrupt your vaginal microbiome, allowing unfriendly bacteria to impact pH or extra yeast to grow. Guys, you shouldn't feel ashamed. Azo's got you covered. I'm a big fan of Azo. I actually keep it in my bathroom now because the last thing you want to do when you have a UTI is to run out to the pharmacy. So keep it stocked at home like I do and you never have to worry about it. I cannot recommend it enough. And you can save 20% now with promo code BETCHES on AZOPRODUCTS.com. Don't know which product you need? Take the quiz to learn more. Let's get into Dear DST.
Yes.
Dear DST, I'm really loving the podcast and I really appreciate the way you guys give no bullshit advice. So I'm writing in because I found myself spiraling yesterday for no good reason. Isn't that the best kind of spiral? For no good reason. On weekend mornings, I love putting on a movie that I've seen before, but not for a long time. It kind of feels like wrapping myself in a warm blanket.
Yes.
I decided to watch The Devil Wears Prada, and oh my God, how did I not realize how much this movie would trigger me? Of course, I remembered that there were lots of jokes about fashion girls trying to stay thin, not eating carbs, needing to fit into tiny clothes, etc. However, I completely forgot how ruthless all the characters were to Andy's character, who they say repeatedly is a size 6. Mm-hmm. I couldn't help but cringe every time someone implied or straight up called Anne Hathaway fat in this movie. I was getting so triggered because I'm also a size 6, and I think of myself as fairly thin, cute, and for the most part, pretty healthy. By the end of the movie, I felt really uncomfortable in my body and kind of had the urge to go to the gym, but not for the right reasons.
Ooh.
I'm sure you've both seen this movie, but curious to know when the last time you saw it was and what your thoughts are. It used to be one of my favorites, and I still found it somewhat entertaining, but I'm so confused why they spent half the movie calling someone fat at a size 6 and basically shamed her into losing weight. Another thing that's kind of weird to me is that I've known people who worked in fashion, and they were definitely not all under a size 6. Obviously, majority of runway models and print models are quite thin because that's still the standard. But the people who work at fashion magazines or at clothing companies are not all like that. I'm not sure what they were trying to show through this constant body shaming, but if they were attempting to make a point, I don't think they succeeded. Anyway, would love to know your general takes on the way this was treated in the movie. Sincerely, size 6, which apparently is the new size 14, bitch. That's a line from the movie. Size 6 is the new size 14.
Is it?
Yeah. Nigel, oh my gosh. What is that actor's
Stanley
name?
Stanley Tucci.
Stanley Tucci, thank you.
Yeah.
Jeez, God. Stanley Tucci's character says it to her in the beginning. He's like, 0 is the new 2, 2 is the new 4. And she goes, oh, well, I'm a 6. And he goes, that's the new 14.
Oh.
You are absolutely right, size 6 bitch. There's rampant fat phobia in this movie. And I actually rewatch this movie like every year. Mm-hmm. I've seen it many, many times. So it's actually pretty fresh in my mind. I watched it like 4 months ago or something. And it didn't surprise me because I know how fat phobic this movie was. If I had to say what point they were trying to make in the movie's defense a little bit is I think what they were trying to show is how warped the fashion industry is.
That's what I was going to say too.
Because in every other scene, like the scenes with her friends or with her boyfriend or, you know, in every other scene,
it's normal looking people.
Yeah. And nobody comments on the fact that she's size 6. That would be insane.
No, but it's the people in that world and in that industry. And I know that you're saying that you've had friends who work in fashion. That's not like that. That is so great. You know, like.
Yeah. And I also think that's true. I've known a lot of people. I actually lived with some girls who they both worked in fashion. By the way, is it just me or is it always the most miserable people who work in fashion? I feel like that career makes you so miserable.
I was going to say it makes you miserable. Yeah. I've had friends who, yeah, they worked in fashion PR and now they've left and they are the happiest people in the entire world. You have to like really, really.
You have to have such
eat,
a passion.
Breathe, sleep. Yeah.
Yeah. I think it's like you have to have such a passion that you're willing to accept whatever garbage they throw at you until you are hazed enough that you can actually like be somebody in it.
Yeah. I think the hazing is a part of the movie too, that it's just like indoctrinating you into this world where, and you said that they shamed her into losing weight. You have to remember Anne Hathaway did not lose weight in this movie. She, like the actress herself, they just dressed her differently.
Yeah.
You know, like.
Yeah. In the beginning, when she's wearing that lumpy blue sweater, the one that Miranda hates, like.
Cerulean.
There's like padding under it or something. Or maybe it's just really oversized and slumpy.
Yeah. Or if there is padding, please correct me. But I think it's just she's dressed differently. And sometimes when you dress, you elevate your style of dress. And you're wearing corsets and shit.
Yeah, and like, all black.
Yeah.
And you know, Stanley Tucci makes the joke about the Crisco and the fishing wire. Uh-huh. You know, you can make somebody look smaller. Yeah, so but I agree
but
with you.
But she didn't get smaller.
She didn't actually lose weight.
Yeah.
But it does bother me when I watch it. It does bother me.
It bothered me like, okay, so this is one I rewatch a lot too. It bothered me initially, like, or not when I first saw it. When I first saw it, I was like, this is what to aspire to. This is Bible, because I was a dumb idiot young child.
Impressionable.
Impressionable. Yeah. Didn't really understand the concept of a farce.
Yeah.
You know, and then once you understand what a farce is, which is basically parody and like extremist parody, like it's a joke. It's a joke at the expense of people who like might be really triggered by this. But if you understand that like this is people being stupid and acting stupid in order to show that the fashion industry is stupid.
And you're supposed to think it's stupid.
Like, you're not supposed to be inspired when Emily Blunt says, oh, I wait till I'm really dizzy and then I eat a cube of cheese. That's supposed to be funny.
By the way, it is hilarious. The way she delivers that line, I don't, and she's like, let me describe my new diet. I don't eat anything. And then if I feel like I'm about to pass out, I eat a cube of cheese.
Yeah. Like
the term cube of cheese.
You have to be, I think, healed at a certain level to be able to find it even funny, because what you're describing is disordered eating.
And it's real. You know?
And some people do that.
Mm-hmm.
But it's not like a prescription.
Right.
It's like, isn't this ridiculous that this is what she's calling her new diet?
Right. And like when she says, I'm one stomach flu away from my goal weight, like you're not supposed to see that and think like, oh yeah, I should make myself sick.
But I'm sure they've also heard people say that before. Like, I remember when I was younger, I used to pray for a tapeworm and be very serious about it.
Yes. I've heard that before, you know, too.
But like, again, that is a young, impressionable person. And maybe it is irresponsible to have a farce about something that is so like an unhealthy way of life.
But yeah. I mean, it is based on a book. I haven't read the book.
Uh-huh.
And I wonder how closely it matches up to the book. But
they make similar jokes in Zoolander, too. Like,
for sure.
Fashion industry movies.
Oh, for sure.
And that one's, again, more clearly a farce because it's so ridiculous.
Wait a second. Zoolander is satire?
Mm.
Is this a school for ants? I did have the thought the last time I watched it, though, how differently it would play out if it was actually a plus size actress in the role.
Mm.
I did have that thought. And I think it would say something different. But how interesting that movie would be if, I mean, even if Anne Hathaway wasn't a size 6 in the movie, even if she was a size 12, you know, like even if she wasn't necessarily plus size, but she was bigger than she was, I think it would play differently. But I think that's why they chose her, because nobody would look at her and think,
say,
she needs to lose weight,
right,
or that she doesn't belong here. You don't even look at her in that environment, aside from the way she's dressed, right? You don't look at her and think she doesn't belong there.
Yeah.
But many people would look at somebody who's a size 12 or 14, 16, 18, 20, and they would think, oh, she doesn't belong there.
Which maybe that was more of the time. I think thankfully more people are getting included into fashion. Sizes are expanding. There are so many more like plus size creators and really stylish people, you know, like.
For sure. And I agree with this writer, this emailer. The people that I've known that work in fashion, they actually were not people who were obsessed with being thin and needed to always be wearing designer. They had a sense of style, but they were not like these people in the movie. And granted, those weren't people who worked on the editorial side. I actually don't have much experience with what those people are like. They were more people who worked in production or in at fashion companies, at clothing companies.
Yeah.
And all those people are not like that, but it's a mix, you know? Yeah. They were showing one side of it.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I just wanted to talk to this person for a second because you did say something that I was like, I'm also a size 6 and I think of myself as fairly thin, cute, and for the most part, pretty healthy. Like, even if you weren't fairly thin, you could still be cute and for the most part, pretty healthy.
Absolutely.
Like, it does suck that this movie sent you into a mindset like that, but like, did it make you think of other bigger people worse or just yourself, you know? Like,
I know that feeling so well when you watch a piece of media and for whatever reason it makes you feel uncomfortable in your body. Like, mm-hmm. when she writes that, I know exactly what that feels like. And
I do too.
She's like, oh, should I go to the gym? It's like, yeah, you're gonna change your whole body and feel so much better about yourself from going to the gym after this. Like, no. But I relate to that. I'm happy you brought this up because when she says, I think of myself as fairly thin, you're not fairly thin. You are a thin girl. Mm-hmm. Like, we do need to put some parameters on this thing. Like, a woman who is a size 6, that's somebody who is very thin.
And even if size 6 was the new size 14, size 14 can still be fabulous. There's a lot of 14s that are fucking dressing better than I ever have.
Oh, yeah. There are a lot of people at a size 14 that have infinitely better style than I have. But when we dissect that line, like a size 6 is the new 14, it doesn't really mean anything. Mm. That's another thing. Like, if you isolate a lot of these lines, they don't actually mean anything. It's more like what they imply based on the environment that she's in, which is this extremely superficial editorial fashion magazine. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just, they're setting the tone. There's also, things keep coming back to me. There's one scene where Meryl Streep is like, you know, everybody that I've hired in the past, they haven't worked out and they've always been obsessed with the magazine, obsessed with me, yada, yada, yada. So I thought, let me take a chance. Let me hire the smart fat girl.
Yeah.
And it's played for a laugh. It's supposed to be.
Because you're looking at her and you're like,
she's obviously not fat. Like, it's insane that Meryl Streep thinks that she's fat.
Yeah.
But since so many of us have complicated relationships with our body and weird feelings about weight, we then project onto it like, oh, does that mean I'm fat?
Fat bad?
And is fat. Can we, for a second, take a step back and understand this is satire?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think it's also, now I'm thinking of it in like a more like meta way. It's like the concept of control. You know, like Meryl in that role just wants to control everyone down to what they can put in their mouth. Like, she controls their schedule. She controls everything. So like, they're not getting fed in so many ways.
Yeah. In the bigger sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's very true.
Like, when your life starts falling apart, that's when you know you're getting a promotion.
Yes.
It's like the most unhealthy workplace in so many ways.
And if we're going with that, that theme of control, a lot of these characters, which represent people that some of us might know in real life, mm-hmm. they are trying to maintain control through keeping their bodies small.
Right. Because they're losing control in other aspects.
And like Emily Blunt's character's name is Emily. She's trying to stay so, so, so small to go to Paris so that she can get all these clothes and be so fabulous and be in mm-hmm. Paris, whatever. She's killing herself at this job. She doesn't even get to go.
You're not going to Paris.
You're not going to Paris. She doesn't even get to go. So if we're analyzing this, it's like, wow, she so desperately was clinging for control that she didn't even have ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
She could get as skinny as she wanted to. She
still going to get hit by a cab and still have some scarves fly in the air.
Although she did eventually get Anne Hathaway's Paris dresses. Clothes.
Yeah.
Although she said she would have to take them in because they would drown her.
Because she's so big.
Because Anne Hathaway is a
requires a circus tent.
It's insane. It's insane. But I mean, thank you for writing in. I share a lot of these feelings. I really do.
If it makes you feel bad, don't watch that shit.
For sure.
But also, if it helps you to watch, if you want to watch it and it's comforting, remind yourself, farce, 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 farce.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what just what you have to do. It's easy to like get overly immersed in a piece of media, especially from that time, because mm-hmm. that time was really problematic.
Yeah. And if like you had disordered eating or an eating disorder at that time, like just watching it might bring it up for you, you know, like watching anything, even like smelling lip smackers from the time might trigger that feeling, you know,
that Dr. Pepper flavor.
Oh my God.
Smells like orthorexia. Yeah. I mean, thank you for writing in size six. Yes. Bitch.
Thank you. Hope you're feeling better and going to the gym for the right reasons, or just chilling and watching another comfort movie. You guys, that's it for today's episode. Be sure to send your questions to dst@betches.com to get them answered.
Follow us at Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram. And if you like this episode, please write us a review. And don't forget to check out our DST merch on shop.betches.com. Rate, review, and subscribe. And of course, follow me at Lubination.
Follow me at Remy Casimir. And of course, we're always with you
through thick and thin.
Diet Starts Tomorrow is produced by Sean Kilby, Jorge Morales-Pico, and Aliza Zinn. Editing by Sean Kilby. Social media by Aliza Zinn. Guest booking by Ali Friedlander.
Be sure to follow Diet Starts Tomorrow on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And send us your emails to dst@betches.com or your voicemails to 212-287-5650.
Thank you to our partner, Impossible Foods. Some people say we would be better off if we ate less meat, which is why Impossible Foods made delicious and nutrient-packed meat from plants. So you can eat more meat, like home-style meatballs, hot dogs, chicken nuggets, and so much more, all made from plants. Impossible creates delicious meat from plants that's better for the planet, so everyone can eat more of it. Check out ImpossibleFoods.com to see how you can help solve the meat problem with more meat. That's ImpossibleFoods.com.
Betches.